On a previous episode of the Capitol Press Room, we highlighted the state's frantic effort in the spring to purchase supplies to combat the pandemic and how this rushed process didn't always produce the best results. Well, that experience was not unique to New York's state government. According to reporting from The City, a nonprofit digital news outlet focused on New York City, where investigative reporter Greg Smith did a deep dive into more than $1 billion in pandemic-related spending by the city government. Back in November, we spoke with Greg about his story, which was headlined "Wrong Masks and Missing Ventilators, New York City's Billion-Dollar COVID Gear Bungle." I began the interview by asking about the most egregious bit of spending he uncovered with his reporting.
The issue that is the most important is what the city is ordering. In some cases, they're not getting, and they're paying for it anyway. And the most important item that they were trying to purchase at that time, remember, we're talking about the beginning of this thing when it was, in New York City in particular, an absolute nightmare. The frontline medical workers were desperately in need of adequate protective gear, and specifically masks that would actually protect them from the spread of the virus. And what was happening was the city, like the state, were the push to get these masks was intense. And they were basically just scrambling around and looking for anybody who could provide them. And what they ended up doing was a lot of the people who provided this protective gear, this is true for the state and for the city, were these just kind of brokers, these people who really had no experience with medical gear. They were just a middleman, and they would somehow arrange to get boxes of surgical masks, much of which came out of China, which was an unfortunate circumstance. And they would just try to get as many as they could, as quickly as they could. And what had happened in the city was they wound up dealing with some of these brokers who were told they were promising more than they could deliver. And in a couple of cases that I looked at, and I don't have access to all of it because I don't have access to the system. I can't see every single purchase and what actually happened with each one, and I'll get to why. But the problem is they purchased surgical masks, and this is medical use masks that you can put into an ER, and then the boxes show up and they're not surgical and they can't be used in the ER. You can't use them. The nurses can't use them. The doctors can't use them. The medical techs can't use them in a setting that is a medical setting. And so they're stuck with, in one case, it was 2 million masks. The other one, it was at least 300,000. I believe it was more like 600,000 where they're not surgical. So they, in other words, the broker says, we're going to get you some N95 surgical masks that are useful for doctors and nurses in the ER. And then when the boxes show up on the warehouse, they're not surgical masks, and they cannot be used by these very important, essential frontline workers.
And it's my understanding that traditionally with government procurement, you don't pay for things until you actually receive, you know, the promised goods or services that you paid for. Was New York City spending money up front? I mean, or were they in a position where they got these goods and paid for it anyway? What was this dynamic like?
Sure. There's two aspects to this. And the first answer to your question is, yes, they were doing what they call prepaid without an invoice. I was able to find $78 million worth of these prepayments where they basically write a check and they don't have anything. They don't even have paperwork. And so they write the check, they're promised something, and then sometimes it shows up and sometimes it does not. And in some cases, I think the state did this too, they ended up having to cancel the order and try to get their money back. And what happened here is the system was not ready for this, basically. That's what it comes down to. Traditionally, a warehouse system is fairly simple. You have an inventory, kind of a digital logbook set up before something like this happens, so that when you order something, there's a set amount and a set quality of good that you are able to expect to get. It shows up in the truck. You at that delivery point, you record what it is that they are claiming that they're tipping you into this system. You then inspect it to make sure that it inside the box is the thing they said that they were going to give you. And then you store it in the warehouse, or you then ship it out to someplace else and you record where you sent it. This system did not have the ability to do that. So what was happening was they would just take it, they would take a look at the outside of the box, and they would just record what was there. Sometimes the box had nothing on it, so they would kind of guess. And sometimes it was written in Chinese. They couldn't read it. So they would just, you know, guess what was there. And they would more or less take the word of the vendor, and then they would put it in the warehouse where it would sit until it was supposed to be shipped out. So that's the inbound issue. The outbound issue is now there's all this stuff sitting in the warehouse, and it's supposed to be sent out to city-run hospitals all over the city, which at that time, let's not forget what's going on at that time. It's crazy in the ERs in New York City. The medical workers are using the same masks every day. They're forced to do that. That's a dangerous thing. And I think we all remember that a lot of medical workers ended up getting COVID during this time period, quite a few. And so you're sitting there with all this stuff sitting in the warehouse, and now you have to ship it out. So you ship it out, but the way they were tracking it was not precise. So they, at times, they would lose track of stuff. And one of my examples was vents, the ventilators that they were so desperately in need of. There's a whole circumstance, a crazy scenario in April, where they're looking for 100 ventilators. The ventilators came into the warehouse, they believe, and then were shipped out, and they didn't know where they went, and they couldn't find them. And they had to, what they ended up doing is they ended up calling the city hospitals and asking them to go look on the serial numbers of the vents to see if they had the serial numbers that they had ordered. So it was almost, I don't want to call it a Marx Brothers movie, but it was certainly not, well, it was certainly not Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Yeah, the anecdote you have about the ventilators is not one that we can talk about on the air here. So I highly recommend people go to thecity.nyc to read your full story, where it has just a really, you know, it's a compelling story on its own. But the narrative that you paint with some of the recordings that you have make for a really telling story. Let me introduce you again. We're talking with the city reporter, Greg Smith, who recently did a deep dive into more than $1 billion in COVID-related spending by the New York City government. At the state level, Cuomo suspended oversight powers of state controller Tom DiNapoli so he could expedite the purchases, according to the administration. Did New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio do any other sort of go-arounds at the city level to expedite the process that might have contributed to the, I guess, lack of accountability that he was able to purchase goods with?
Absolutely. It's exactly the same thing. Because of the fact that they weren't ready for this, they decided to just waive the usual registration process, which is the contracts all have to be registered by the city comptroller. And de Blasio, at the very beginning of this thing, just like his best friend Andrew Cuomo, just waived it. He just said, we're not doing this. Stringer, the city comptroller, went along with this, and there's an interesting fallout to that, which I can get into at some point. But she just basically took the oversight out of the process. And it's understandable why they would do this, because, I mean, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get around the competitive bidding problem, which is it's a good idea to competitively bid something because you are trying to help taxpayers not, you know, waste their money. But the process can take a lot of time. And so they're in desperate need of medical gear. They decide that they're not going to go through that process. They're simply going to bring this stuff in and they'll sort it out later. And that's exactly what de Blasio did. The $1.4 billion that I looked at is one of the agencies. There are multiple agencies that purchase stuff. The total figure is $4.4 billion that I can find. And by the way, I can't find everything because not everything is marked COVID. Sometimes they put in, well, they're trying to put in COVID. The reason they want to put in COVID on every single item is because they want the federal government to come in and reimburse them. But they didn't always do that. So I don't even know what the total figure is. And neither does the comptroller. He doesn't know what it is. So right now there's this like opaque buying spree that we don't understand the full ramifications of yet.
What does the Department of Citywide Administrative Services, which handles a lot of New York City's purchases and distribution, have to say about this process? Do they defend everything to the final purchase and distribution, or are they willing to acknowledge that this what happened wasn't perfect?
They did not acknowledge anything. What's interesting is that when I was writing this, I was trying to tell them, you know, all these things that I was finding just by listening to their own people, because I was able to obtain a number of their internal staff meetings, which is kind of an interesting reporter thing that's going on now. But all of these meetings are now on Zoom, and they record them, and so it's their words, and it's their people, and these are the top people in this department, and they're sitting there going, "Where are the ventilators? And do we have a system for tracking things when they leave the warehouse?" No, we don't. And there was a couple of colorful moments there where it was obviously frustration. These are people who are trying to do the best they can. I understand that, but the agency basically is deep in denial, and they're basically saying, "Well, ultimately, we can account for everything." And you know, at the end of the day, we'll find out if that's true, because the city comptroller is now looking into this whole thing.
Yeah, what do you expect from this probe by City Comptroller Scott Stringer? Is this supposed to be something that produces substantive results, or should I look at this as a political maneuver for someone who's going to be who is running for mayor for 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, with all you cover government, so you know that there's really two layers to all government, which is the top layer is the political layer, and then there's all these people who work in the agencies who just do their job. So the people I know, some of the people who are doing this work, and they're competent people who have been doing this forever, and they're kind of like the car mechanic who really wants to figure out what's wrong with the engine, and they're going to do what they're going to do. I don't know what Stringer will do with it at the end of the day, but I think it reflects poorly on him because of the fact that he hasn't registered any of these $4.4 billion worth of contracts. I think it makes sense for him to be able to figure out what happened, and it doesn't hurt him to find out what happened. So I think, yes, they will get to the bottom of this thing.
And I assume you're not done with this story either?
There's other issues here. There's another issue that has to do with how much they were getting charged. So what you see is N95 is a surgical mask that is crucial in the ER. And you look at different, again, I can't see these contracts because they weren't registered, the controller doesn't have them, but the ones that people have sent to me, you can see that the prices are all over the place, the per mask price. And so you have to wonder, were some of these people just taking advantage of this situation and overcharging for these masks? So there's an issue of fairness that has yet to be explored.
Well, we've been speaking with Greg Smith. He is an investigative reporter with the city, and you can find Greg's work at thecity.nyc, and he's on Twitter at GregBSmithNYC. Thanks so much for joining us, Greg. I really appreciate it.
Happy to be here, David.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.